Mihoinimoinoin.
Hola. Saying amen.
You got your Easter hoodie on.
My Easter hoodie? Is that what it looks like?
Yeah.
My Easter colors.
Turn me up a little bit.
Tis the season, boy.
Turn me up. Turn my headphones up.
Turn me up in my left headphone. You sound better?
Yep.
You sound good?
Yep.
You sound nice?
I'm ready.
You ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. Hey, we're back. It's episode 79. And we got a whole slew of news.
A smorgasbord.
If you will, thank you.
Introduce yourself.
I'm Slim.
It's your boy, Monty, back at him. You already know I come from where the Slims don't play fair. For some reason, they evolved from asking for crack door to door, and now they're licking their arms, and they're actually using hairballs as defense mechanisms and shooting them at the Slims.
Ah, what is that? What is that?
They're an ever-evolving species. I'll keep track of them. Defense mechanism. But you already know. It's your boy, Monty. Catch me on Apex Legends, just cussing out 12-year-olds.
I told you. Bro, that is...
Lifeline, baby.
There are a lot of 12-year-olds in that game, though. It does seem like a game for kids, but it is fun.
I'm the best support player out there.
That's important to have. I usually run Bloodhound.
Nice, as everybody else does.
I like seeing through walls. What can I say?
I feel it.
But I got Anthem.
Tell us about it.
So it's Destiny number 3.
Nice.
The flying is sick.
I see that.
Amazing. The world, the map, beautiful.
Ooh.
Like gorgeous. Like one of the best looking maps I've ever seen.
Wow.
But the gameplay is kind of lacking.
Oh wow.
Like the guns feel so insignificant when you look at the model. Like they don't really change. Like it looks like just a fucking assault rifle with a cloth draped over it.
Ew.
And it doesn't really change from, like, the first gun you get to, like, the legendary gun. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, like...
Very lame.
Yeah. And they spent 6 years on this game. Like,
wow. Oh, come on.
Pretty much Destiny style of, oh, I'm downloading this information. You gotta stay in this circle and hold this point until I get it done and hordes of enemies come. And once the checkpoint's done, they all go away.
Whack.
So it's basically Destiny. But I'm having fun with it.
That's cool.
My dude is called the Storm.
Oh, nice.
He can hover above the battlefield and just shoot like lightning in one hand, fire in the other hand.
Wow.
So that part is sick. But like I said, the guns just don't feel like I need to use them.
Hmm.
Like, I'm not doing a ton of damage with them. But I beat it. I spent 12 hours on it Sunday and I beat the campaign.
Jeez, dude. Yeah. Relax.
Woke up at 1, played till 1, baby. That was my Sunday.
I saw Travis Scott on Sunday.
You did? How was it?
It's lit! Super fucking fun.
At the night show.
I got 3 blunts in there, and nobody around me was smoking any weed at all. I found one dude.
No way.
I found one guy to split 3 blunts with, so
wow.
I made a friend.
Sick.
Yeah, I got my pen in there, too. Boofed it. You already know.
Did anyone even, like, search you or anything?
I wrapped my low-key, keep this low-key, y'all. I wrapped my pen with my keys around my phone, and I was just holding it, like, boom, like, kind of like... Oh, I got my keys and my phone in my hand, but it was actually tied to the back of my phone, and I just like set it in the little crate, like
no,
and I went through the metal detector.
See, I feel like mine would be so much easier. Yours is like super long.
That actually just looks like a vapester.
Yeah, were you allowed to have the? Could you just take the jewel in?
I don't think so. Really? Well, jewel's like all plastic, right? So
yeah. Well, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure you can.
There's probably metal in the battery and shit. Whatever.
But yeah, it's episode 79, which is the chemical element component of gold, which is what
you're
this
right.
show is.
AU.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh. Good cut on that. Okay.
You remember how I used to do that?
Yeah,
I used to always have like stats for all of our numbers.
Literally.
I'm back on that.
Okay. What's 78?
Don't. Don't do that.
And 77? And 76?
Don't.
Oh my God.
So, there was a very eventful weekend.
I'll say.
In MMA. We had a Bellator card, of course, which me and Slim didn't talk too much about, and we probably won't.
I watched some of it.
James Gallagher got a first round stoppage, got back on track, so good for him.
Ooh, side note, I missed that. Bayer Hawani spoiled it for me on Twitter.
Good job, Ariel.
Thanks, bud.
I was watching him and Dana's best beefs on YouTube when he made him cry.
Yeah, those are really good.
Cry.
Well, Nick, why didn't you show up? Ariel, are you going to ask him about the fight? Well, I believe this is important. Are you going to ask him about the fight? Well, I just had this follow-up. And
yeah, that one's super funny.
So, you want to know what happened to me?
What?
When I was watching Bellator this weekend.
What?
So it's Saturday, right? Bellator's on at 9. It's like 11, 10, 11 o'clock. So I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to order DoorDash, and I'm going to get some Johnny J's because I just wanted to get some wings.
That sounded like two bad decisions right in a row, but go, keep going.
Oh, it was. Let me tell you why. So I got the wings, and I got the mac and cheese with the chicken and the
beer mac?
Yeah.
Oh.
Fire.
Right.
Never had it before, but I was like, all right, we'll try it out. So takes like 30 minutes, maybe 40. So I'm just sitting, you know, I'm like, whatever. I'm sitting there waiting. Driver pulls up outside. I go get it. Come back in. It's only one, like, box in, like, two small little containers. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Open one, it's broccoli. So I'm like, okay, they put my broccoli on the side. That's weird. Open the other one, fried rice. I'm like, what the fuck? Open the center one, like, the big tray, chicken tenders with some sort of spicy sauce. I'm like, what the fuck is this? This ain't mine. So I call, like, it sends you, like, the link of the DoorDasher's phone number so you can, like, hit him up. I called him. I was like, hey, you got the order for Andrew, right? And he was like, oh, yeah, man, that's what they gave you. I just said DoorDasher Andrew, that's what they gave me. You know, it's not your food? I'm like, no, it's completely not what I ordered. He's like, well, you have to call either the restaurant or DoorDash or something, but, yeah, that's what they gave me. I'm like, all right, not your fault. So I call Johnny J's, and they got me to a manager, and I explain what happened. And they're like, oh, yeah, I heard you got the wrong order. I was like, yeah, I did. Completely not what I ordered. I ordered wings and mac and cheese, and I got some chicken tenders, rice, and broccoli. First of all, who gets that as their side? Like, you have a choice, and that's what you go with? Okay. So she's like, oh, yeah, so I'm sorry. We had some new people working tonight, and we actually had just a regular pickup order for Andrew, and yours was DoorDash Andrew, and somehow they got switched around. I'm like, okay, so can you just, like, refund me or something? She goes, no, I can't do that. But, you know, I know it's an inconvenience, but your food's still here if you want to come get it. And I'm like, well, what's the point of me getting DoorDash then? Like, I literally ordered this so it could be delivered to my house. I paid, like, okay, like, I'll come get it. It's only 15 minutes up the road, but can you, like, knock off the prices? Like, give me some money back? Because I paid, you know, have you ever ordered on DoorDash?
No, I don't.
It busts up the prices. Yeah, so, like, something that's $10 would be, like, $11.50 or something.
You know
what's
crazy? I bet your dude who brought you the food ate about two of your broccolis too.
Two of my broccoli. He can have it. So she's like, no, we don't, you know, you'd have to contact DoorDash. I'm like, why would DoorDash pay for your guys' mistake?
Right.
They did nothing wrong in this. She was like, well, when you get here, I can offer you $3 $5 off coupons. And I was like, I just paid $30 for this meal that would have cost me like $15 had I come picked it up manually. Just take $15 off my bill. She's like, no, I can't do that. You're going to have to call DoorDash. I'm like, what? What do you mean? Fine. I'll be there. And just hung up on her. Went up there. Whoever's the manager of Johnny J's, first of all, you have no fucking customer service.
Oh, wow.
You need to go back to manager training. You don't tell a customer, hey, sorry we fucked up, but we'll see you next time. And here's a discount for then. What if there won't be no next time? That's not ensuring that there will be a next time. That's not how fucking being a manager works. Pop open the drawer and give me my money back.
Wow. I would have had them give me two shots of liquor and left.
That would have been fine too. But anyway, I walked in there with the other order to prove my innocence in this. And
they took it back?
No. Fuck no. I said I'm keeping both of these and walked out.
Yes.
And I got $15 to my next time. If there's going to be a next time, you motherfuckers.
Wow.
What kind of fucking customer service is that? Hey, I know we fucked up this time, but we can make it right the next time. That's not how you ensure someone comes back to your restaurant. You correct it at the time.
Oh my god.
Fortunately, DoorDash, I put in there that I got none of the food I ordered right, and they sent me $25 back. So that made up for it. So I got two meals out of it.
So
for
really,
like $10.
So really, you were an angry white mom with a bob haircut.
Listen,
who went in there with your arms crossed.
I didn't know the
with your fat booty and your tight ass jeans, fucking yell
black
at
boyfriend. No, I three mixed kids trailing behind me. I fucking as soon as I told them the problem, they're like, "Let me get a manager." I didn't even ask for one; they just said, "Here you go." And I didn't walk in and talk to the manager. I was too pissed. It was actually Rachel Walbrown who gave me my food. I was too mad, dude.
So you were yelling at Rachel Walbrown?
No, I didn't yell at Rachel Walbrown. No. I just said, hey, I'm Andrew for the DoorDash, and she just handed it to me. I'm like, all right. And she's like, well, you know, you might as well take that one, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right. I'm cutting you off.
That's it. That's my story. Fuck Johnny J's. But wow. See me in there next time with free food.
We've been Fuck Johnny J's for a minute, so welcome to the club, bro. Welcome back.
But I've been eating there, not just partying there. And not doing it. All right.
So we
I had to get that off my chest. Thank you for giving me my platform to do so.
Yes. Thanks, Sean, over there. So we had our first card ever in the Czech Republic.
Yes.
In Prague, also referred to as Hrog or something.
Hrog.
They were called... They were calling it Prog.
The Prog Prince.
So I guess the P and the G are both silent or something.
Hmm. Okay. I'd say it was a pretty good card overall, though.
Hell yeah.
Even though I...
slept through it?
Yeah, the prelims at least.
Nice. Well, I will go ahead and run those down. Let's start with the first one in the lightweight division. Oh, let me remind you guys of our records going into this one, and then I'll remind you every time there's a change. Slim is going in with the four-fight winning streak.
Ahead of you streak?
I'm sorry, four-fight ahead of me, yeah. 30 and 18, and I am 26 and 22. Let's get into it. Demir Ismagulov versus Joel Alvarez.
Yeah.
Now, Demir Ismagulov, dude, he keeps a tight boxing guard, and he throws huge punches behind it. And really, Alvarez had nothing to solve it. Even though he was the much taller fighter, he wasn't able to keep his distance with Ismagulov, and it was just pure domination through and through on Ismagulov's part. He defeated Joel Alvarez 30-27. All three judges had that, and that moves me and Slim to 27-22, and Slim at 31-18. I'm so high. Go on to the lightweight division, Slim.
I actually did get to see this one. Rustem Khabilov going up against Diego Ferreira. We both picked Khabilov, and man, Ferreira showed up that night. Holy cow. He looked great.
Yeah, this was definitely, I'd say, his best UFC appearance. He snapped Rustem Khabilov's winning streak, which really nobody saw it coming, and it was just an absolutely amazing performance. Two judges had it 30-27, one judge had it 29-28. I agreed with the 29-28 card.
Yeah.
But, dude, like I said, Carlos Diego Ferreira with an absolutely impressive performance, and I think he's going to want a top fighter, possibly a top 15 fighter, in his next fight. So we'll see what he gets.
I think he's earned it. On to the welterweight division. We also got this one wrong.
Yeah.
Michel Prezeris on his 8-fight win streak in the welterweight division going up against newcomer Ismail Nardaev. Sorry.
Dude.
Or no, he's not a newcomer, is he?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
This was his first fight in the UFC, the Austrian Wonder Boy. And oh my goodness, this kid is nothing to play with.
I'm telling you.
On the ground, he was handling himself with Michel Prezeris.
Yeah.
I mean.
And I think everyone thought that Prezeris was going to come in and just take him down and do his work like he normally does, but he couldn't even get him down.
No.
He had 3 of 13 takedowns.
So not only does Nardaev have great takedown defense, his striking is just impeccable. I mean, he's called the Austrian Wonder Boy for a reason.
Landed 105 strikes to Prezeris 25.
Unbelievable. What a first performance for him in the UFC against a top opponent like Michel Prezeris. Watch out for this Austrian Wonder Boy. He is what, 26?
Younger, I think. Let me look. The Austrian Wonder Boy is... don't say.
Okay, he's a young fighter. The sky's the limit.
A young lad.
I mean, he's going to end up...
He's 22.
If he keeps putting performances like this together, watch out. This kid is a true problem. He absolutely dominated this fight. 30-27 two times. One judge had it 30-26. Wow. Which I agree with, because he dominated that third round entirely.
I give him that.
What a performance for this kid. Can't wait to see what's next for him. Michel Prezeris finally loses after a great winning streak. He finally drops one. Just tired out in this fight. And hey, we'll see what he can do next time.
Yeah, he'll be back.
Maybe. Who knows?
Jeez. Dark Monty.
Yeah. Moving on to the lightweight division.
Oh, records? We both took an L on that one.
We'll get it when our records are anyway. Different.
So, Demir Hadzovic going up against Marco Polo Reyes. We got this one wrong, too!
Rough start for ANA MMA on this night. Demir Hadzovic just
bodied Marco Polo Reyes. Dude. I mean, he went in there, got in Marco Polo Reyes' face, and just
put it on him.
Oh, dude. There was no shot for Marco Polo Reyes to stop that pressure. And what a performance by Demir Hadzovic. Got the TKO victory 2 minutes and 3 seconds into the second round. Whew. Let me see. Did he get a performance?
No.
No. Okay. So that takes us to our next fight, our first women's bout of the night, a flyweight bout between Jillian Robertson and Veronica Macedo. Slim and I finally get back on track here with this one, picking Jillian Robertson, who has now won all three of her UFC victories by submission.
What a dog.
Yes.
Oh my God.
She is an absolute problem in the flyweight division. Does she not have a ranking right now? Because she's going to have one very soon.
She better. The Savage.
I understand she lost her last fight, but Myra Bueno Silva is an absolute beast. She gets the job done when she's in the cage. I can't wait to see her get back in there.
For sure, dude. On to this next one, back to
our... Oh, that was 3 minutes and 27 seconds into the second round.
On to our next one, back to the losing ways. We had Daniel Tamer going up against Krish Fishgold.
Shrimp Silver going up against Krish Fishgold.
How fitting is the 79th episode?
Chris Fishgold absolutely, that's funny, went in there and got in Daniel Tamer's face and just didn't even give him a shot.
Dude, five takedowns.
Yeah, he was just laying on top of him on the ground. Daniel Tamer had no shot.
No.
I mean, just pure domination by Chris Fishgold. He's just a brick sack up top, bro.
A brick sack!
He's an anvil.
Yes.
And, I mean, Daniel Tamer couldn't do anything on the feet either, where we thought he'd have the advantage. In the second round, Chris Fishgold got him on the ground, ended up getting that rear naked choke.
Yep.
1 minute and 10 seconds into that second round. What a performance by him. He's a scary featherweight.
I'm telling you.
I mean, very powerful for that division.
That's a strong dude.
So, you know, he'll keep climbing. And Daniel Tamer just struggling, man, as of late. He has now lost three in a row. You know, he's got to get back on track. If he's going to keep fighting in the UFC, he's 0-3 right now. Not looking as good as his brother did.
No, not quite.
So, yeah, that takes us to the welterweight division.
I woke up in time for this one.
So, I was listening, back to our episode last week, yeah. And I totally meant to pick Dwight Grant, but with me being
did
so
you?
High,
I thought you were picking Carlo.
No.
Okay.
No. I meant to say we both were picking Dwight Grant. I said we're both picking Carlo Pietrasoli. So I took the ouchie and I said, all right, I picked Carlo Pietrasoli and I let you have your Dwight Grant because that's what you said.
Gotcha.
Stupid me.
I will say Carlo Pietrasoli, though, looked good. He looked very good. Dwight Grant did, he ended up catching him in like...
Oof.
How many seconds was that?
There was 1 second left in the round. Yeah. I mean, as soon as his fist hit him, the buzzer rang.
Literally. Dwight Grant caught him coming in. Carlo Pietrasoli dropped, like, in not quite fetal position. He was on his hands and knees.
I mean, but dude, he got hit to a 180, and his mouthpiece flew across the cage.
And he was not defending whatsoever. I think it was a clear stoppage. He was just not defending. He wasn't necessarily out, but he wasn't defending at all.
No.
Like, 'cause he was just taking pure shots. So Dwight Grant got the TKO at 5 minutes in the very first round.
Yeah, 4:59. Very and nice. That got him a performance of the night bonus. 50 G's for Dwight Grant. Also, moving Slim 5 fights ahead of me. Slim's record improves to 33-22, and I am 28-27. Nice. Oh, Marty.
Yo, you're almost batting 500.
Wow.
Oh.
Which takes us into the that was your early preliminary card. What was that on, Slim? The
ESPN2.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that was on ESPN2. Which takes us to ESPN Plus for the main card in a light heavyweight bout where Clidson Abreu actually missed weight.
Yeah, short notice fight for him. Fighting on the Brazil circuit all over the place. Coming in here against Magomed Ankalaev, a very tough test ahead of him. Mm-hmm. And, dude, Ankalaev just put it on him.
Yep. We thought he'd just come in and dominate, and that's exactly what he did. He loves getting in the clinch. He loves getting up in your face, and he imposes his will on his opponents. And that's exactly what he did to Abreu. Tough first UFC fight, like you said, for Abreu, but
ankle. Abreu was putting it on him, though. I would say that.
Yeah, he was landing good. He throws some good punches, but Ankalaev, man, he's just he's a tough dude.
Right.
30-27, 30-27, 29-28 for a unanimous decision victory.
I give it 30-27.
I agree with that. Takes us into the bantamweight division.
Holy
a
shit.
A fight that a lot of people were really excited to see. A fighter that was up for an A and Amy for Prospect of the Year, Petr Yan, who went is going up against John Dodson.
His biggest test to date, and he passed. But a little bit of controversy in the first round. Some eye pokes, some nut shots. John Dodson conversing with the referee while still in the fight. The referee did not stop the fight. He's just talking to him, and Petr Yan's just standing there about to come at him. It was like, dude, get your head in there.
Yeah.
You don't stop the action. You don't talk to the referee unless the referee stops it.
Right.
You can't do that. But Petr Yan, no mercy, true to his name, put it on Dodson. He was landing clean, straight strikes. Dodson did have a good knockdown in the second round.
Yeah.
But, man, dude, it was pretty much all Petr Yan.
Definitely.
That's a scary guy.
Dude, for sure.
He said he even said in his pre-fight thing that he's not looking at Dodson. He's looking towards the Garbrandts, the Dillashaws, the Cruises. Yeah. He's not even looking at Dodson, which I thought was nuts. Like, you don't... Like, Don Dodson fought twice for a belt. Like,
Don
you don't,
Dodson!
Don Johnson fought twice for a belt against Demetrius Johnson and almost beat him once. You don't count him out, but, dude, what a scary guy.
Yeah, Petr Yan, dude, an absolute savage. 30-27s all across the board. Continues his rise in the bantamweight division. It's only a matter of time before he gets a top five fighter.
Wow, they gave Dodson two takedowns?
He's going to get a top five fighter.
Yeah,
for sure. His next fight.
He has to.
There's no question.
Scary motherfucker.
Honestly, I think he's going to fight the winner of this Munoz-Garbrandt fight.
Ooh, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's going to be crazy. But yeah, that takes us into the women's flyweight division. Another one where Slim and I had a discretion. I thought Lucy Pudilova.
Whoa. Oh, no. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about we had a discretion on Petr Yan. Go on.
I thought Lucy Podolova, the only Czech fighter on the card, you know.
Dude, that crowd went insane when she came out.
Dude, that was awesome.
Nuts. Every time she even advanced position, every time she even threw a strike, the crowd was just like, oh my fucking God!
Yeah. So I just thought, you know, with having that kind of crowd, you know, maybe she'd get it done. But Liz Carmouche, absolute pioneer in women's MMA. Just
former army woman, I believe.
Army women, nice.
Yeah. Well, it's not army men. Infantryman, how about that? Well, no.
Infantrywoman.
Yeah, okay.
We don't know if she was in the infantry.
Yeah, I don't know. Luiso coming in with heavy, heavy reach. Luis, sorry. I did that again, god damn it.
Lucy.
I did that last week.
Lucy.
Lucy.
Yeah, Lucy.
Coming in with heavy reach. She looked super long in there.
Oh, yeah, she's definitely tall for that division.
Liz Carmouche looked short and stocky, though, in this, and brought the power with her. And was able to get the takedowns, was able to secure the clinch at all times, and that's what wanted the fight.
Yeah, I thought with the reversals, maybe Pudilova would get it, but no, Czech Republic bone, it's not a thing.
No.
Yeah,
they don't care there.
Liz Carmouche gets the victory, 30-27, 29-28, 29-28. Oh man, Slim is just pulling away, come back, Slim.
Yeah.
He improves his record to 36-22. I drop down to 30-28, which takes us to... light heavyweight?
Yes.
Light heavyweight bout. A fighter who could possibly be a middleweight.
Yeah, honestly. Michael Oleschicek.
Yes.
Going up against John Volante. First of all.
Dude, stop it. Hey.
All right.
Don't be too mean.
John Volante is not that good of a fighter to me.
Why?
He's just very slow, very tentative.
He has
power, but I haven't seen it yet. Not in the UFC, at least.
I mean, dude, he has some knockouts. He knocked out Sofarbek Safarov.
All right, fair enough.
I mean, he had that win over Anthony Parosh where he absolutely destroyed him.
Yeah, but that's
and Parosh. He knocked out Corey Anderson.
He did?
Yes.
When was that?
2015.
I don't remember that one. Yes. Okay, all right. Well, not been doing so hot lately.
I agree with that. Definitely not. I mean, well, he did win his last fight, but... His last four fights before this one all ended in split decision. So, you know, it was kind of teeter-tottering. He was getting lucky with some wins. And then, I mean, Michael Oleschicek.
Dude, he was coming out quick.
I knew this was going
to
happen.
His head movement was great.
Crazy.
His side to side was just, John Volante didn't even know where to throw.
His feints, I mean, just
insane.
He knew exactly what he needed to do. He went in there and just absolutely perfected that fight. I mean, flawless victory, literally.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely great performance. That got him 50 G's.
Mm-hmm.
Michael,
I believe it was a body punch, right?
Yeah. Knocked him out with a liver shot, bro. No, it was right to the liver. Just shut him down.
Dude, fucking Kenny Florian. He's looking like he just swallowed a hard candy and he's not sure what to do now.
That was Dan Hardy.
Oh, Kenny Florian. What the fuck? Yeah, Dan Hardy said that and I was just like, you know, he kind of did because he just dropped down.
That's what it looked like.
He kind of smiled like he knew, like, oh, I can't take any more of that. Like, he just dropped to his knee, and then Olechek finished him up.
Yeah, so Olechek got the 50 Gs, 1 minute, 34 seconds into the very first round. What a performance by him. You know, coming off that suspension, a performance like this, hopefully he gets right back in there after not taking too much damage. And
but Dan Hardy was right. He definitely could make middleweight.
Oh, yeah.
He's got so too. He's just got a frame that he would rock it at middleweight, but he's very skinny for light heavyweight.
For sure. That takes us to the co-main event of the evening, a heavyweight bout between Marcos Rogerio de Lima and the skyscraper Stefan Struve.
We both got this one wrong. We went with de Lima, and I thought we were right in the very first
punch.
Very first punch of the fight. Struve went right down. Rogerio de Lima got right in his face, threw a big overhand right, and just kind of laid on him for most of the first round. But second round came out. Struve ended up getting the takedown and got, what was the submission? Arm triangle choke.
Yeah, we know he's dangerous on the ground, mm-hmm. and he proved that he still got it. But Stefan Struve decided to leave his gloves in the cage.
Maybe.
We don't know.
Very odd.
But, I mean,
he said this might be the last time he fights.
He left a little wiggle room. But he wanted, if that was his last fight, he wanted to, you know, do that. So,
but on the Monday beforehand, on Luke Thomas's show, he said, in a perfect world, I'd like to have 3 fights this year, all wins, if possible. So we don't know what Stefan Struve's head's at. I know he wants to go out on top with a win because he did take, like, what, 3 losses in 2018?
Yeah.
But I would like to see him back. I love this guy, Straper. I've been watching him since I was a kid.
Definitely. And with a performance like this,
for sure.
Keep him in there.
Right.
Hopefully,
well, it's what him at the end of the day. But
hopefully,
you know,
he gives it one more, maybe.
Yeah.
So Stefan Struve with the 2 minute, 21-second, second round submission over Marcos Rogerio de Lima. That got him 50 Gs.
Yes.
Performance of the night bonus.
Indeed. On to the main event. Jan Blachowicz going up against Thiago Santos.
Marreta.
So this fight started off, neither fighter really committing. Both kind of feeling each other out, which I thought might happen. Thiago knew it was a 5-round fight. He wasn't trying to overcommit and tire himself out in the first few minutes of the fight. And Jan being very patient with his strikes. He was landing pretty good and then getting back out of there like he needed to. Didn't want to stick around and get caught by something. But, and that's how the second round went too, but going in the third round, Jan got a little carried away. Yep. Thiago was on the fence. Jan went in rushing and got caught.
Clobbered.
Oh, my God. Don't do that against Santos.
Is Thiago Santos
a problem?
We know that's certified. That's known that he's a problem. But is he a top 5 knockout artist in UFC history?
There's only one fighter beating him.
And we know who it is.
Who is it?
Anthony Rumble Johnson.
It's Vitor Belfort.
Vitor?
Yes, he's got 12. Thiago has 11.
Is Rumble second? Or
Rumble's
third?
Also has 11. I believe it's Rumble and there's one other. I can't remember though.
I have to say, dude, Thiago Santos is top 5 for me. With the sledgehammer? I mean, come on, dude.
What, in light heavyweight?
Definitely in light heavyweight and in knockout artists of all time.
For sure, for sure.
Both of those.
And he's young. Like, he's still got it. Like, he can still keep going.
Yeah, I think if he wins one more fight in light heavyweight, title shot.
So, winner of Dom Reyes and Volkan?
Yes.
Woo!
Yes, exactly.
So, if Anthony Smith wins Thiago rematch at light heavy?
Oh, that yeah. But if Anthony Smith wins,
for a belt,
then it has to be Thiago Santos because Thiago
Santos.
That's
the last one to beat him.
Yes.
For a belt? Oh, my God.
That'd
be wild. Think of the storyline.
Oh, yeah. That's
a
crazy storyline.
That'd be insane. Anthony Smith's just to fight all odds and now has to fight his biggest test.
And then the light heavyweight division just goes to shambles.
Every middleweight's like, they look good up there.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you want to come up here? Who's all up there?
But what a performance by Thiago Santos. Got himself 50 Gs as well. A performance of the night bonus. And helped
bonus.
Me. Bonus. And helped me get back on track. I went out of the night with a record of 32-29. Slim with a record of 37-24. Wow.
Yes.
Up by 5 fights. So this takes us to an absolutely action-packed weekend. All of our friends are going to be at my house watching it.
Hell yeah.
It's just going to be an absolute spectacle.
You want to talk about some news before we get to that?
Sure.
All right. So, for one, and we were supposed to do this yesterday, but miscommunication, I'll say that. Ray Roberts messaged me on Saturday because GSP, George St. Pierre, long-time welterweight champion and middleweight champion at one time, announced his retirement from the sport. Apparently, they were trying to get a deal done to where he would fight Khabib, but right. It didn't work out. So he said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm out. I'm retiring on top, and I'm just, that's it. That's it for me. But I feel like, did you watch it?
No.
I feel like he kind of left a little wiggle room. Like, I feel like it's not a set.
Oh, he definitely did. From the quotes I saw.
Money is money.
Yeah, exactly.
In this sport, you know. They're prize fighters. But, so, George St. Pierre trying to retire on top. But I feel like he did leave the door open for a challenger like that. Khabib wanted it to happen in November. Not sure what happened with the UFC tour. They couldn't get it done because that's a dream fight. Like, are you kidding?
Can GSP get to 155?
They say he was working on it.
I mean, it's just
that's never, a lot for him, but
yeah, it's never been seen before.
They said he was working on it. But yeah, dream matchup, just absolutely amazing fight. Didn't get to happen, so George is like, I'm out of there. But what do you make of George St. Pierre's legacy in the UFC?
Top three of all time in my book.
Some people call him the GOAT from this.
I mean, it's a compelling argument. I mean, look at his run. The two fighters he lost to, he avenged his losses.
Right.
I mean,
like instantly too. Not like you saw him years down the line. Like he was like, give me the rematch.
Right. Got it. So
the first fighter to get on his knees and beg Dana for a title shot. Iconic. Dana White, if you see it in your heart, I think I'm ready for a title. my French Canadian isn't that up to par.
Pretty garbage. Yeah. But yeah, like I said, in my opinion, I think he has to be top three of all time. Absolutely.
I think he broke ground for not only Canadian fighters, but the wrestling aspect of the sport.
Oh, absolutely.
Like we had like Randy Couture, Mark Coleman, like people like them coming in and like dirty boxing, grappling, whatnot. But George was the first one that was like power doubles, like coming at you headstrong. Like you are going to get taken down.
Oh, yeah. He definitely broke ground for...
And just an all-out athlete.
Yeah.
He could throw any strike from anywhere.
Being an all-around fighter, I mean, he was one of the first ones to just have no holes in his game. I mean, he can go to the ground with you. Jiu-jitsu, wrestling, definitely wrestling. His striking, great. Mm-hmm. I mean, bro, GSP's one of the best of all time. I mean...
For sure.
I can't say he is. He's my GOAT.
That's fair.
But I definitely think he's number three for me.
Okay.
He's number three.
Who's two?
Number two for me... The Spider, Anderson Silva.
And number one is Jones?
John Bones Jones.
I'd have to agree with that list. That's on my list, too.
Nice.
Hey. Okay. So, that was on a positive, right? So, did we talk about Adesanya Gaslam last weekend?
Yes. It was breaking news at that point.
Okay, cool. So, this... actually, we'll get to this first. So, Vitor Belfort, coming out of retirement... And is now in a negotiation for a multi-fight deal with the ONE Fighting Championship.
Yeah.
Where you can beat TRT Vitor again! Dude! That's the first thing I thought when I saw this.
You were excited about that.
Yeah. No USADA? Are you kidding? Vitor can get back to his buff self.
He was like, oh, steroids? Oh, I'm in.
Oh, you mean I can get some fucking... My balls working again? Let's go!
Oh, fuck.
That's what it is. yeah, dude, I'm excited. I don't know who's in the middleweight or light heavyweight division in ONE FC, but man, I'm ready to see that.
That's
ooh,
awesome.
Did you see? I forget this fighter's name, but he fought in some Asian circuit. It wasn't Ryzen. I don't remember the name, but this dude threw like a cartwheel on this dude on the ground, almost kicked him in the face.
That was in Road FC.
Road FC, yeah. Dude, that dude's scary.
Yeah, that shit was crazy.
That was open weight? I don't even know what he weighed in at.
He looked like a light heavy.
Middleweight, maybe, yeah. Looked, dude, that's scary. Okay, so on to the darker side of things.
Damn.
When this popped up on my Bleacher Report notifications,
you thought it was Jeff Hughes?
No, God.
I almost sent the screenshot to Jeff. It was like, damn, fam, I thought you almost fucked up.
Jesus. No. our first UFC fighter, not actually in the UFC anymore. Damn. Sorry, Jeff. No, when I seen this, I couldn't believe it, mainly because of the state that we've seen him in, like when he walked out at that one UFC event. You know, he almost needed help to get in the cage. I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah, he did.
And he wasn't talking in clear sentences. There's obviously been brain damage with him, physical, you know, damage to his body.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't think he would be even physically capable of this. So, but apparently a lot of this happened before the accident. Oh. So I'm going to read the article. Former UFC star Matt Hughes, wife and brother both filed and were granted restraining orders against him in 2018, according to TMZ. Andrea Hughes said in her filing that Matt choked her in 2017 and then hit her in front of her stepson, their daughter, and stepfather on December 12, 2018. Matt Hughes' brother Mark wrote that he and Matt had a falling out over the ownership of a tractor in 2018. Mark alleged that Matt grabbed and shook Mark's 15-year-old son when he saw the child using the tractor and later doused the tractor in gasoline in an attempt to destroy it. Dude.
Yikes.
What?
Groundbreaking stuff.
Absolutely insane. I did not take Matt Hughes as that kind of guy. I don't think anyone did. I think this is kind of a shock to the MMA community. What do you make of this?
Not good news, man. You know, it's always rough when stuff like this comes out, and, you know, it's unfortunate that it's a UFC Hall of Famer, but, I mean, it's just facts, dude. I mean, it seems like he kind of started going a little bit towards the dark side, and who knows where his head is, so,
man,
you know.
That's scary, man.
Yeah.
Scary shit. So, Matt Hughes is not allowed to see his wife, I believe his children, or his brother. Has to stay within 500 feet at all times per the restraining order. It's really upsetting.
Definitely.
You know, I you would think someone in that state of condition would welcome support or anything like that and not, I don't know. It just, I can't make heads or tails of it. You know, I don't want to believe it's true, but if that was filed, that's obviously true. You know, if statements were made, I have to believe it, but
right.
It's upsetting. It's upsetting if it is true and what happened there. I wish his family the best.
Definitely.
Going through all this. And, yeah, man, hopefully Matt Hughes gets his head out of his ass. That was,
right.
Yeah, the big news story of the week.
All right, which gets us into the biggest card of the year. Talk about this
first one, I'm going to make a drinky poo.
All right, so like I said, biggest fight card of the year. It's going to be taking place, of course, at the T-Mobile Arena in Paradise, Las Vegas, Nevada. Oh, it's going to be an absolute spectacle. It's got all the biggest fights so far of the year, I'd say. John Jones versus Anthony Smith, Tyron Woodley versus Kamaru Usman. I mean, Slim and I have our hands full with our picks. And, yeah, when Slim gets back, we will get into it.
Go ahead, talk about the first one.
The first fight of the night, we start on UFC Fight Pass. We haven't been there for a while, but this one's kind of like a normal card, except the prelims are on ESPN. We have a women's strawweight bout between Brazilian hero and robber beater.
Batman!
Poliana Viana going up against Hannah Seifers. This is actually going to be a very competitive fight. Last time we saw Hannah Seifers, she fought Macy Barber. We do know Macy Barber is a future champion, possibly, in that division. So,
dude, she said she's going to be bigger than Conor and Ronda.
You know, that's a
she talks the talk, and she might be able to walk the walk. So that was a really tough fight for Hannah Cyphers, and she gets another good challenge here with Poliana Viana, who's I'm pretty sure she won her last two fights. Might be a mistake.
No, she lost her last one. Oh. Dama de Ferdo? Ferro.
Nice. Who are you taking in this one, Slim?
I am taking the Robber Stopper.
The Robber Stopper. ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Poliana Viana in this one.
This next one is a excellent fight as well. Dude, this whole card, top to bottom.
Oh, my gosh.
Top to bottom.
Stacked.
Literally. This next fight, Marlon Chito Vera going up against Frankie Saenz.
Yeah.
Chito Vera having a 2-inch height on this. In this fight, 5'8 against 5'6. Frankie Saenz is 13-5 in this bantamweight division.
Chito been looking good. His last two fights, he beat Guido Canetti in his last one via submission, and then Wuliji Buren via TKO with a body punch two fights ago. You know, he had that two-fight losing streak against Douglas Silva, De Andrade, and John Lineker, two ranked fighters, and a three-fight winning streak before that.
Saenz had just beat Mira Dabalashvili.
Yeah, and, which was a huge upset.
Yeah, and Henry Briones as well.
Right. I mean, he's been tearing it up, too, looking probably the best of his career.
For sure.
Who are you going with in this one, Slim?
You know what? I am going to take Chito, though.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Marlon Chito Vera in this one.
On to the next fight. We have Gina Mazzani going up against Macy Chaisan.
There you go.
Ron Stop. It's Leviosa. You insolent buffoon. It's not Leviosa. It's Leviosa. My favorite video on YouTube. Anyway, Jason. We'll have a hefty 5 inches of height in this fight. And looks like 4.5 inches of reach.
Yeah, going up against Mazzani, who, despite losing to Lena Landsberg in her last fight, she actually looked pretty good in that one. And then the fight before that, she had beaten Yanan Wu in China, which is a huge upset. So, yeah. You know, her only loss that I find a little bit troubling is that arm triangle choke she had versus Sarah McMahon. But other than that, absolutely great in her career. Taking on Macy Chaisan, of course, we know she won that Ultimate Fighter. She looked good in her fight where she did win the Ultimate Fighter. I thought the girl that she was fighting, Pani Kinzad, was going to win that one, but Chaisan got the upset. And yeah, I think this is actually going to be a really, really good fight. Who do you got in this one, Sam?
I am going to take Chaisan for the upset in this as well.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Macy Chaisan in this one.
And the next one, Edmund Shahbazyan.
Yeah.
Going up against Kid Dynamite. Charles Byrd. Dude, I always think back to the first time you ever said that. When we were first discussing the Contender Series, you were just like, Kid Dynamite, Charles Byrd. Like, you just stopped, looked at me, and like, cocked your head, and was like, Charles Byrd. For some reason, that just stuck with me, and I always gotta say it like that. Charles Byrd coming up that loss. Who was it against?
Darren Stewart.
Yeah, the dentist. Mm-hmm. That's a scary guy. But he did have two wins before that, coming off Dana White's Contender Series. Edmund Shahbazyan, I believe this is his debut, the Golden Boy.
No, he actually beat Darren Stewart in his UFC
debut. Oh, I see him. Yeah, yeah, I remember him.
His profile
was blacked out.
Yeah, had a 40-second knockout versus Antonio Jones in Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series. His longest fight before that was 3 minutes and 16 seconds long.
Wow.
I mean, he has a 14-second knockout, 40-second, 30-second, 43-second. I mean, he loves getting the quick knockout. And we've actually seen Charles Byrd struggle with big punchers like this. Darren Stewart, Bojan Veljković, who, you know, throws hard punches himself. This is a really, really tough fight to call, dude. I'll let you take first pick.
Oh, man. I'm going to go. You know what? I think Charles Byrd has the better wrestling pedigree. And I'm going to go with Charles Byrd.
That's a tough one because Shahbazyan wrestled the shit out of Darren Stewart in the first round.
Oh, shit, that's right. No, I am going with Shahbazyan.
All right. ANA MMA going to disagree on this one.
Oh.
Slim's going with Edmund Shahbazyan. I'm going with Charles Byrd in this one.
Kid Dynamite. On to the next fight. On to the prelims. I believe it's on ESPN.
Yes, it is.
Bro. The call-out king is back.
Oh.
Racking up another one.
Yeah.
Mickey Gall.
How does he do it every
called
time?
Called out Diego Sanchez.
How does he do it every time?
Is he the nightmare? Is he the dream? I think he's back to the nightmare.
I don't know what he's at right now.
Something like that. He's scary. Mickey Gall with his 5-1 record going up against 30-11 Diego Sanchez. Five times more experience than Mickey Gall has. Ooh. Dude. Gonna be absolute nightmare. I almost said absolute fireworks. Diego Sanchez, I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm right on this. He is the only fighter from the first season of The Ultimate Fighter to still be competing.
Wow, that's wild,
crazy
stat,
insane. He did get a win over Alex White in his last one, who's talking all that shit,
right?
But he did lose.
Talk that talk.
He did lose to Matt Brown in his return to welterweight, and he also lost to Ally Aquinta. This is back at welterweight. Mickey Gall coming off that loss again. Oh, who was that? That was Bobby Green, wasn't it? No, it wasn't Bobby Green. Who am I saying? My computer's not working fast.
It was Randy Brown, but Randy Brown beat George Sullivan after that.
Yeah.
He got back on track.
Oh, okay. I forgot about that one. Dude. Mickey Gall hasn't been talking that much shit. He did call him out, though, but he's been somewhat respectful about it. I'm going to take Mickey Gall, though.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Mickey Gall on this one.
This is one of the UFC's first, like, homegrown prospects, you know? He came in with, like, 1-2-0. And
only one fight on his record when he came into the UFC.
Insane. This next one, God, stop making me pick. Cody Stamann going up against Alejandro Perez.
Yeah, so, dude, this is one of the closest matched fights we're going to have all night.
Wow.
I mean, we have Cody Stamann, who before his split decision loss in his eighth career fight, went on a 10-fight winning streak before he had that just absolutely crazy knee bar that he was put in by Aljamain Sterling.
Yeah.
Absolutely great fighter, but he has... I mean, this is just as tough of a matchup as Aljamain, I'd say. We have Alejandro Perez, who right now is on a 7-fight unbeaten streak.
In the UFC.
In the UFC. He beat Eddie Wineland. He knocked out Matthew Lopez. He beat Yuri Alcantara. Andre Sukumthoth. I mean, the list goes on, dude. He's been on an absolute roll. Only one loss so far in the UFC. And, dude, good luck. Here you go. Have fun picking this one, Slim.
I'm going to pick the streaking fighter. I'm going to go with Perez.
Wow. ANA MMA going to disagree on this one.
Woo.
I'm going with Cody Stamann in this one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
ANA MMA disagrees. Wow.
Bro, this next one got put together like 2 weeks ago. Just about.
Pretty much.
Misha Cirkunov, former top 10 light heavyweight, going up against Johnny Walker. Who just came off that spectacular knockout. I don't even got to say it. I'm going Johnny Walker.
Oh, wow. Why do you think it's just like that? Misha Cirkunov has the third highest strikes landed per minute in light heavyweight history.
Because we're talking about Johnny Walker, bro.
You think he's just got it figured out like that?
I think he's got
it. What if we see him get taken deep into a round with Misha Cirkunov?
You know, that honestly would be the only way Misha would win, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because Walker did just fight like not even a month ago.
Right.
So he's probably a little bit fatigued. Even though he got that quick win.
Yeah.
Didn't take any damage or anything. You know, he trained. He cut weight, you know. Who knows what his cardio is going to look like in this.
Right.
But I do believe that he's going to put hands on Cirkunov. We saw what Volkan was able to do. I think Johnny Walker is going to be able to do the same early.
These are actually extremely close odds here. Johnny Walker is the favorite, and I do agree with you, Slim. ANA MMA going with Johnny Walker in this one.
I know Jones is the favorite by probably the most he's ever been a favorite for, but who's the second after that? Jones is like an 1,100 favorite, isn't he?
Macy Chason at -450.
Wow.
Yeah. And then pretty much all the other ones are toss-ups.
Wait, where's Chason at?
Except Poliana Viana is -290 favorite. She was -300 earlier today over the +235 Hannah Seifers.
Macy Chason's that much of a favorite?
Yeah.
Holy shit. All right.
Second biggest favorite on the card.
Wow. What about Zabit?
Zabit is only a -250 favorite.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of, on to our next fight in the featherweight division, Jeremy Lil Heathen Stevens.
Also, Slim's been super hot with his picks of the underdog over the favorite. So Alejandro Perez, currently the +155 underdog over the -185 Cody Stammen. And then he also has Charles Byrd over Edmund Shabazian. Or I'm sorry, I have Charles Byrd.
Yeah.
So you have the favorite in that one. My bad. He's -125. That one's like the closest one of the night.
Gotcha. Speaking of.
Can I hit that?
Yeah.
Please, bro. Can I hit
bro,
this water please. Too? Fuck.
Sure. Do you want my heart? So.
How's that kidney working?
Not well. You see how much I drink? Jeremy, Lil Heathen Stevens going up against Zabit. Yeah. Magomed Sharipov.
Dude.
First of all, did you watch Errol Hawani's show on Monday?
I watched like bits and pieces of
them. Jeremy Stevens contemplated suicide at the end of his Jose Aldo loss.
Right.
Last year.
Very deep stuff.
Holy shit. I hope he doesn't after this one because he's going up against Zabit.
Yeah.
Jeremy Stevens, known to be a power puncher, gets in there, gets it done. He's looked excellent as of late. He's really in his athletic prime, I feel. But we're talking about Zabit, boy.
Yes.
Dude, number 13 going up against number 6. I can't believe Jeremy accepted this fight for real.
Hey, I mean, he's props trying to get to back. Him. Yeah, he's trying to get back on track. And
for sure. But my God, this is no pushover. We're talking about Zabit. We're talking about the 2019 featherweight champion.
Oh, wow.
Calling the shot.
So I think we see who you're picking, Slim.
Yep.
And, of course, I'm going to have to agree. We're both going with Zabit. Magomed Sharipov in this one.
Like I said, I watched that 20-minute video about fucking Zabit, where he came from and all that.
And this is also going to be the fight. I love that they put him as the headliner on the ESPN card because this is where he makes his household name.
Yeah, TV start. Debut.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I'm so excited for Zabit. We already know he's going to be prepared and ready to go. It's going to be an absolute show, my friends.
I can't wait.
Be ready.
I can't wait. All right, moving down to the featherweight division, on to the pay-per-view. Starting off, Cody No-Love Garbrandt trying to get back on track, going up against Pedro Munhoz, who I believe he's been on a little bit of a streak himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's won through two in a row against Brett Johns and Brian Caraway.
Yeah, and he was not the favorite in that Brett Johns fight, so he's been known to get some upsets here lately.
Yeah, Garbrandt coming off them pair of losses against TJ Dillashaw. I think if Garbrandt can keep his head in the game and not be cocky, get back to his old ways, how he was more confident, he knew that he had the power to knock you out, but he was patient enough to wait for the right time to do it.
Right, exactly.
And I think that if he gets back in that mind space, he's going to get it done, and I'm going with Garbrandt.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one as well. We're going with Cody Garbrandt in this one. No love.
No love. I'm wearing my Garbrandt shirt on Saturday. Fuck my work if they say anything about it.
Nice.
All right. On to the next fight. Tisha, the tiny tornado man. Torres, going to be against Waleji Zhang, 18-1.
I am calling it right now, fight of the night candidate.
For sure. For sure.
Oh, my goodness.
Good Lord.
Last time we saw, Weili Zhang. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. Last time we saw her was when she fought Jessica Aguilar. And, I mean, one of the biggest bloodbaths we've seen in a women's fight in a long time.
For sure.
I mean, she is absolutely ruthless with her striking. Mm-hmm. She is an absolutely amazing all-around fighter. She almost reminds me of, like, a... I don't know, like a female Zabit with a little bit less spinning attacks type stuff. Okay. Like just her style, her mindset. Like she's very stoic and
focused.
She's scary.
For sure.
But she's fighting her, I mean, by far, she's taking the biggest step here in her career, fighting somebody of Tisha Torres's caliber.
Yeah.
She's really going to see where she ranks here in this women's strawweight division.
Yeah, Tiny Tornado coming off a pair of losses against Jessica Andrade and Joanna Jędrzejczyk last year.
But those are the two best strawweights in the world.
Two of the GOATs. One had the belt for a long time. One's fighting for the belt next month.
I mean, those are the two of the best strawweights in the world right now.
Literally.
Two and three, in my opinion.
Literally.
So,
but I am going to take Liji Zhang.
Yeah. ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Weili Zhang in this one.
I said, Weili.
Weili Bird. What is Weili ranked right now?
No, I don't think so.
Wow. Really?
Let me look. Let me make sure.
I mean, she's only had two fights, so yeah. I guess.
She is not. Her nickname is Magnum. Ooh.
Yeah, she is an absolute animal.
Blows in someone's face. That sounded bad. My bad.
But like I said, fight of the night candidate right there. Be on the lookout for that one. Absolute banger. Taking us to our first of two in a row welterweight bouts.
Oh my God. This is a fight I've been looking forward to all year.
Whole 2019. So much anticipation. What? After the trade, I mean,
I've wondered this since 2010, 2011, maybe.
Yeah, and you're finally gonna figure it out.
What will Ben Askren do in the UFC? And I finally get my answer this Saturday. Funky Ben Askren going up against ruthless Robbie Lawler.
I watched.
The UFC is behind him. All of Twitter is behind him.
Hey,
cat fights.
Get out of here.
The UFC is behind Ben Askren. Did you see what they did on Valentine's Day?
No.
So, Ben, you know, obviously a new fighter. They had his face blacked out like they do.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
So, the UFC made just the curly-haired blacked out?
Yeah.
Dude, bro.
Super funny.
So, Ben Askren, champion, multiple organizations.
Yes.
Bellator, 1FC, all over the place. Former retired, but got the offer to go to the UFC, and he said, yes, give me that. I want to fight the best fighters in the world. And I think that's why he retired, because he really had no opposition.
Yeah.
He had no challenge anymore. He was just beating everyone up, and everyone knew Ben was going to get the dub. And he was calling everyone out in the welterweight division. Fucking...
literally everybody.
Darren Till, Usman, Covington, everyone in... I think he even called out Masvidal. Everyone in the top 10 at welterweight he called out, except ruthless Robbie Lawler.
So they're like, we're going to give you ruthless Robbie Lawler.
Didn't see it coming, but my God, is this a matchup. First of all, Robbie Lawler has one of the highest takedown defense rates in the welterweight division.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Askren, we know what he's going for. He don't want to strike. He don't want to stand a bang.
I watched his fights versus Douglas Lima and some other known strikers, Andrei Koroshkov. When he starts getting hit, it does not look good. He starts reaching and reaching. I can see in this fight Robbie Lawler catching Ben Askren with something he's never been hit with.
But Ben historically has not taken punishment in any of his fights. That's why he's still able to do at the high level he's done.
Right.
But if Robbie can keep it standing, though, dude, it's all Robbie. But I do think Ben's wrestling pedigree will propel him to get this done. By decision, I am taking Ben Askren.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one as well. We're going Funky. With Ben Askren in this one.
Funk. On to our first championship fight of the night.
Whew.
Oh, my God. Dude, I'm getting chilled.
Oh, I know.
It's only 4 days away. Holy shit.
Damn.
Longtime welterweight champion Tyron Woodley putting his belt on the line against the number 2 contender in the world, the Nigerian Nightmare Kamaru Usman.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. We thought it was going to be Covington.
Right.
Covington said he's hurt. He can't do it right now. UFC said, we're moving on. Fuck your interim belt. We're going with Usman. To be fair, Usman has fought and won over fighters that Colby has already also fought and won over. But Usman might have done it better. Maybe not the RDA fight, but the Damian Maia fight for sure.
Yeah.
Dude, Usman has just been on an absolute tear. I've watched almost every single one of his fights. If he's not grappling you, he's outstriking you.
Right.
But he doesn't have to outstrike you because he knows that he can outgrapple you.
Honestly, excuse me. These two have very similar styles.
For sure, for sure. The only difference is the height. 5'9" against 6 foot.
Yeah, right. I mean, who you picking, Slim? Who you got in this one?
So, as much as I like Usman and I like watching him fight and I like the tear he's been on, I really think the things he does strong are the things that Woodley does better. So I'm going to have to stick with the champ.
I agree with you on that one, Slim. Absolutely. But I think there's going to be a new champion in the welterweight division. And here's why.
Okay.
So in Tyron Woodley's last couple, we'll use as an example, title fights.
Yeah.
Darren Till.
Against Damian Maia?
I'll get to that one. All right. Let's start with Darren Till. The reason Darren Till was unsuccessful against Tyron Woodley, he did a good job pressuring him, even though that did end up being his downfall. But the reason that happened is because Tyron Woodley knew 100% Darren Till's not going to take me down. So he could sit back and not worry about that.
He had pure striking on his mind.
Now let's move to Damian.
Wake up in the morning, I got striking on my mind.
Move on to Damian.
Didn't mean to hit him. He just caught me by surprise.
Damian Maia.
Yeah.
He didn't have to worry about the striking. So therefore, he was able to only worry about that grappling.
True.
And he did what he had to do.
True.
Wonder Boy wasn't advancing. All he had to worry about was the striking again.
Right.
This is the first time in his championship run since I'd say he beat Kelvin Gastelum that he's going to have to face somebody with a wrestling pedigree like him. His losses in his career, Rory McDonald, absolutely amazing wrestler. Jake Shields, absolutely amazing wrestler. Nate Marquardt, great wrestler.
Right.
All those guys also had good striking.
True.
I think Kamaru Usman is, even though Tyron does do those things better, I think it's just Kamaru's mixture of stuff that is going to be able to pressure Tyron Woodley into a unanimous decision loss.
You want to know an interesting stat?
Yes.
This is the first fight Woodley's been a favorite in since Kelvin Gastelum.
Wow. That is bonkers, bro.
Insane. The champion. Underdog every time.
Darren Till was a favorite. Damian Maia was the favorite.
You know, I feel like Damian wasn't, but yeah, he was.
What?
That's what Woodley said. He said, the first time I've been a favorite since Gastelum.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going with the underdog on this one. I think it's, and I totally see how this can go Tyron Woodley's way.
Right.
But
see, here's how I think it's going to play out. Just like the Damian Maia fight. I don't think Usman commits to strikes unless he feels like he has the advantage, which I don't think he's has the striking advantage in this. Like the ones we've seen him really pressure the strikes in, like that one dude that came in, he was a 155 pounder, the short notice that he got the crazy knockout on.
Yeah.
That one he pressured because he knew, all right, I can knock this dude out. No problem. But everyone else, he's stalked and he's wrestled.
Right.
I don't think he can out-wrestle Woodley. He's going to go for it. Can Woodley catch him coming in? That remains to be seen. But I just think Woodley's going to play the Maia game. This is my belt. You got to come for it.
Yeah.
So I don't see Woodley overcommitting, unlike he did in Darren Till's fight, or the Darren Till fight, where, like you said, he knew he's not going to take me out. I can just go for the hands. So I do see this being kind of a boring fight.
Yeah,
I think it's probably going to go five rounds and not too much action because Usman knows I can't just slide in and get the takedown like I've been able to do against everyone else. But I do think Woodley's going to have the edge against the takedown defense. That's going to be the main winner for him.
It's going to be a fun one.
Honestly, I just have to. I had like a certain amount of fights that I knew I was like, I'm going to disagree with Slim if he picks this fighter. So
okay. All right. Let's see it. Maybe you're back on your winning ways and we have a Nigerian champion, the first ever.
Wow.
Who knows?
We'll see.
All right.
Well, this takes us to our second title fight of the night.
Oh, my God.
The GOAT, the greatest of all time.
Can you tell me the odds right now? Can you tell me the odds?
Current odds, according to my bookie, at 8:15 Eastern time, John Jones, you'd have to pay $835 to win 100.
What is the negative?
The minus 835.
Woo-hoo.
Favorite.
That's actually come down. It was 1,100.
Anthony Smith, if you put down $100, you would win $585. He's the plus 585 underdog.
Wow. So not any longer the most, as far as I know, the most odds against an opponent for Jones.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Is it, what, like I said, it was 1,100 for Jones.
Yeah.
But man, does Anthony Smith have to have his wits about him in this. Fighting the GOAT.
I mean, I think, I honestly don't know. He might come out and go by a game plan where he conserves his energy. You know, I mean, a 5-round fight with John Jones. But at the same time, he might think his only shot is to go in there and be aggressive like he has in all of his other fights.
Which he has to, because I actually listened to Luke Thomas's show. His, what's it called? Where he, like, breaks things down. Monday Morning Analyst. So, Anthony Smith, in all of his 6 UFC wins, mm-hmm. whether it be a welterweight or light heavyweight, aside from the Rashad and the Shogun knockout.
Just saying.
Okay. But judging on his last 6, aside from the Rashad and the Shogun knockout,
yeah,
where he obviously knocked him out in the first round,
right?
He has absorbed more strikes than he landed, but still got the win. So Anthony Smith is obviously a dog. He keeps pressuring forward.
Right.
It happened with Volkan. We saw it. He just keeps the pressure on. He might take some shots, but he can take those shots.
Right.
The last time he got really TKO'd was when he got kicked in the liver, which, you know, if it happens, it happens. You might not come back from that.
Right.
You might be able to just put on your poker face and get back in there, but sometimes you get kicked there. And you can't, like, that's just, it shuts you down, shuts your whole body down. You can't come back from that. But Anthony Smith has absorbed more strikes than he's put out in all of his wins, or majority of his wins. So Anthony Smith's going to have to get in there and make it dirty, get in a dogfight. I don't know if he's going to be able to clinch with Jones, because Jones does have the reach advantage by 8 inches.
Yeah.
But man, I want Smith to win just because, like, what a great underdog story. Someone who's went almost 40 fights, or over 40 fights, I think.
Yeah, he's 31 and 13.
Over 40 fights. Started off,
he has more knockouts than John Jones has career fights.
Yeah. I seen a fight that said, or a tweet that said that Anthony Smith started off his, it was either amateur or pro career, at 5-6. And now he's fighting for the belt.
Wow.
Like, what an underdog story.
Absolutely.
I do consider Jones the greatest fighter of all time, but I've never wanted someone to win more than I have for Anthony Smith.
Put his name on it then, Slim.
No, I can't. I don't think he's going to get it done, though. I think it's going to be a good fight, but I don't. I just. It's John Jones, man.
Yeah, remember when I had the balls to say that Thug Rose was going to beat Joanna?
Sure did.
And you thought I was so crazy?
Yeah.
But you don't got the balls to put Anthony Smith on.
John Jones just finished someone in 3 rounds that he took to 5 rounds with 4 years ago. John Jones is officially in his athletic prime.
I don't know about that.
Yes. He knocked out Cormier, which he also took 5 rounds a couple years before.
So, Anthony Smith, his last 2 losses, Thiago Santos and Cesar Ferreira. I'd say...
Yeah, but how long ago was the Ferreira one?
Ferreira was 2016.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was like 2013 or something.
No.
So, I mean, his two losses in the UFC, I'd say, are, other than Volkan Ozdemir, the hardest punchers he's faced.
For sure.
I think Jon Jones punches harder than those guys.
I think he punches with more volume than
power. And I think Jon Jones is going into this, he's going to do what he wants. He's going to pick him apart. He's going to chop him down. He's going to abuse his body.
It's Jon Jones.
He's going to take him to the ground. He's going to wrestle him around. Is Jon Jones bigger than Anthony Lionheart Smith? Give me some sizes real quick.
Heights, both 6'4". Like I said, Jones has an 8-inch reach advantage. Leg reach is only 1-inch advantage for Jones.
And this is definitely the strongest fighter Anthony Smith has ever faced. And he's faced Hector Lombard.
This is a real light heavyweight.
And he's faced Thiago Santos.
Like, Rashad fought at 185. Smith.
This is a man that's cutting weight.
I'm not saying Volkan's not a real light heavyweight. He's a big boy, but he was able to take him down, do what he wanted to him.
He's a natural light heavyweight. Jon Jones could easily fight at heavyweight.
For sure. Jon Jones walks around like 235, 240.
So, I mean, this is going to be a good fight, I think, but Jon Jones is going to pick and choose the way he wants to win.
Anthony Smith got hickeys on his chest in this picture.
Ooh, getting a little nipple sucked. Freaky.
I feel you, bro. Yeah, I got to pick the GOAT.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Jon Jones in this one.
Jon Bones!
So that John is Bones. Our take on UFC 235. We only had three disagreements on this one. I thought we might have a couple more, but hey, Slim has been on it lately. We'll see if I can somehow climb back and get close to this fool.
I'm coming for the $100, boy.
As always, we want to give shout-outs. Dude,
Beta shout Ray, out to fucking Beta Ray Bill.
Bill. Always supporting our cause, believing in us. We fucking love you, bro. Thank you so much for your help. Mm-hmm. And always, you know, putting us in your mind. I appreciate you, dude, so much. Everybody, make sure you just fucking think about Beta Ray Bill and how cool of a person he is tonight before you go to bed. Also, shout out to Bihu, Mitchell Tyler. What a goofball that man is. Shout out to Lousy Weather Media, of course. Sean Ast, our big boss, Bob Camparda, probably upstairs CEO. Playing some Destiny.
You already know.
Just murking people.
You already know.
Shout out to Slim,
Thank you.
Treasurer.
Yeah, CFO.
For being into weird kind of porn that other people aren't really into, but it's cool.
Whatever makes me come, you know?
Shout out Spyro, bro. I love you, you little cat. I can't wait to go home and cuddle you.
He let you cuddle him?
Oh, he lets...
I figured he's just all
bro, you've never
offense.
Seen him just being ready to, like, kill somebody and me just scoop him up and, like, be like, chill, bro.
Yeah, but I just figure at
that
night
man loves
even,
me. He comes up and he rubs his little face on me because that's how cats say, like, this is mine. Like, they rub themselves on stuff.
Yeah.
So he comes and rubs his face on me because I'm his father.
I'm his father.
I'm a father. I got Apex Legends to play.
Hell yeah.
Wrap this up.
Dude. Yeah, good show. Yeah, we'll see you guys.
Good show. Jolly good show.
Jolly good show. We'll see you guys on Sunday for the recap, and we'll also be previewing. Oh, damn, what is the next fight?
Dude, we have four straight fight cards in a row, Slim.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so, hey.
Oh, the next one is fucking.
Dude, Santos
versus Lewis, dude.
You got a lot of fights to stay ahead of me, Slim. And then the next week after that, we got Till and Masvidal, Leon Edwards and Gunny Nelson, Ozdemir and Dominic Reyes. I mean, oh, dude.
Dude, after Lewis and Santos, it's motherfucking... Oh, wait. No, Till Masvidal, like you said. And then after that...
Thompson versus Pettis, Curtis Blaydes and Justin Willis.
Goofy.
Oh, my
goodness.
That's
the one Hughes is on.
Yes.
Yes.
And then 2 weeks after that, on March 30th, we got Edson Barbosa and Justin Gaethje, Carolina and Michelle Watterson.
Stop it.
Oh, my gosh, Slim. We're not going to know what to do with ourselves. April 13th, we got Max Holloway and Dustin Poirier just announced.
We didn't even announce that.
Yeah.
Dude.
Other news.
A double interim title fight.
Wow.
Will be going on. At UFC 236, Max Holloway will be stepping up to fight Dustin Poirier for the second time in over, 6 years, I think? They were both pretty much kids.
Literally.
Like, our age when they first fought.
Did you know Jordan Mean fought Rory McDonald when he was 17 years old? Imagine how scary that was, but go on.
Oh my God. No, but Holloway will be fighting Poirier for the second time at light heavyweight for the interim.
At light heavyweight, yeah, that's going to be crazy.
I'm sorry.
See both of them at that.
They've been putting all the pounds at lightweight for the interim lightweight belt.
Oh man, so this whoever wins that definitely gets a shot at Khabib.
This is the first, who knows? First of all, who knows with these interim belts lately?
Yeah. And where's Tony Ferguson?
So Tony Ferguson was offered the interim title versus Poirier, and he turned it down. First of all, I think, go you, Tony Ferguson. You were already given this lightweight title, which yeah. you won and got. You were stripped from a freak accident. Why would you go for it again?
Right.
Because clearly, that doesn't mean you get a title shot.
Maybe we see Conor versus Tony.
That would be great. But what I'm saying is, Dana White came out and said, yeah, Tony versus Khabib, that's the next fight to make. And now you're throwing an interim title in the mix? How is Tony going to get past that? How can you justify that? If
Dana logic.
Dude, how can you justify... First of all, Tony deserves the next shot at Khabib. I know it's been like six times in the making, but let's make it happen. Let's make sure
that.
Both they're healthy. Let's fucking put them on 24-hour security watch and make sure nothing gets in their bedroom and no right. poison like in fucking Star Wars. Like
just some, four guards surrounding all posts of their beds.
Some crazy shit, but... Tony deserves the next shot. So how are you going to tell me that because Tony didn't want to become the second time interim champ, which obviously meant nothing the first time, that he's not that he turned it down, he's now not going to fight Khabib?
Yeah.
Where the fuck does Tony go? What does Tony do? I think it's smart by Tony because fuck that. You took that belt away from me.
Right.
I don't need to earn it back. I'm already number one in line.
Yeah, I definitely understand that argument.
Because that's all the interim belt is you're the next in line.
Right.
And Tony's already there. He doesn't need to do it again. He doesn't need to have to fight another fight to get it again. But apparently now, he has to fight another fight. That's insane to me.
I agree with that, Slim. That's a beautiful wealth. I agree with everything you just said. Absolutely.
Thank you.
I agree with all of that.
However, this is an excellent fight.
Yes.
The rematch?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Gonna be so sick.
Fireworks.
Max Holloway at lightweight?
Dude.
Oh!
We've never seen that.
No.
We've seen what Poirier can do since he moved up. Excellent.
Right.
We've never seen Holloway having to cut less weight.
Gonna put on some muscle?
Bro,
oh, gosh.
Bro, insane. However, this is the first ever UFC card that has two interim belts.
Yeah, that's gonna be... interesting to see, especially since they're the headliners.
And they made this the main event over the heavier fighters, Adesanya and Gaslam.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
Very.
I think it's because Holloway already has a belt and another weight.
Right.
So my thing is, why would Holloway agree to this?
Just so you know, Kelvin Gastelum has a belt too.
They're fighting for Henry Cejudo's belt.
Did you see Robert Whittaker say that?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
funny.
My thing is, why would Holloway agree to this?
Because he's a warrior, bro. Why do you agree to go fight Khabib on short notice?
What kind of champ asterisk is next to your name when you say, yeah, I was the longtime featherweight champion. I also got the interim lightweight belt.
Max Holloway is trying to make his stamp to be greatest of all time. That's what he's thinking
about. I was the interim feather lightweight champ.
But then he knows he's got his shot at Khabib.
Maybe. And we've seen what happened with Tony. We've seen what happened with Colby Covington.
What does he have to lose at lightweight? You know? So why not?
Nothing. Well, his winning streak?
Who cares about that?
The most winningest fighter?
Who cares about that?
Not most winningest overall. Most winning streak in the UFC?
He don't care about that.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
Maybe a little bit, but that's not... It obviously isn't influencing his decision on what he's doing with his career.
Clearly thinks he's going to win.
Or maybe he just thinks he's going to go in there and dominate Dustin Poirier.
Clearly thinks he's going to win. What I'm saying is, you can't parade around with, yeah, I got the featherweight belt and the interim lightweight belt. Like, what is that going to look like?
Yeah, we'll see what he does, though. Who knows if that's what he'll even do?
That's goofy to me. To me... Holloway needs to go out and say, listen, y'all want to see me at lightweight. We made the fight at lightweight. I got this belt. It doesn't mean anything until I get to fight Khabib. Boom. That's great. That's a great.
That's probably what he'll say.
That's a great statement. if he says, does the Conor champ champ? Yeah. Dude, no. Like, you can't be the champ champ with one of them being totally interim belt. No,
I
totally feel
that. I agree with that, but I just don't think that's who Max is. I don't think he'll be doing all that. No, I think he knows he has to beat Khabib to be that champ champ.
But it's just silly to me that a champ is fighting for a champ in another way.
I agree. I agree.
I can't put my finger on that.
But it's, hey, that's the day and age we are in the UFC.
True. True. So Conor and Khabib are both out. Khabib till November, Conor till like August, maybe yeah. before that. But it's wild, dude. What a convoluted situation we're in.
We need to get out of here. You guys got the main
show. I got fucking. Well, maybe. I mean, Sean may just come back here and be like, oh, I want to make beats again. Anyway, so yeah, we're out of here. We'll be back on Sunday with coverage from UFC 235.
Happy gold episode. It's gold.
It's gold, baby.
Can I paint his schlong gold?
Get out of here, you crazy Dutch bastard.
Gold at you.
Bye. This has been the Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.